Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 126. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
Not a lot of no new movies this week. I mean, we've seen some stuff. So we're going to start off with some of the bigger TV shows that I watch. They had their season finales this week. I guess I'll start with Better Call Saul. Wrapped up on Monday. You haven't been watching this season, right?
No, I missed all this season. I will catch up on it at some point, but
you've done season one and two then?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. I'd say I like the season quite a bit. Every year, like, I'm not super excited about the show when this comes back, but then as I start to watch it, I start to like it more. I think that this season probably had the strongest Jimmy's story, which I mean, he's the main character of the show, so
right,
that's a good thing. I would say it's probably my favorite season of Better Call Saul so far. I think that, like, Mike got sidelined near the end of the season. It's weird. Okay. Like, a lot of episodes are half Jimmy half Mike, and then it seemed like near the end of the season, like, for instance, in the finale, Mike is not in it at all. And near, like, the second half of the season, it's kind of more Jimmy and this guy Nacho, who was in, it's more of a minor character in seasons one and two. But here he becomes a much bigger character. I liked him a lot. He's basically one of the guys who's working for Hector Salamanca. And he starts to fear that Hector Salamanca is going to use his dad's furniture store to hide drugs. And his dad is not involved in any of this stuff. So it creates a great tension between Nacho and his boss. I liked that storyline. I liked the stuff I just don't think that they did a whole ton with Mike in this season. It was mostly setting up the fact that he'll be working with Gus.
Okay.
Not a ton of Gus either. Like, they made a big deal at the end of season two that, like, Gus is back.
Right.
Like, they definitely, like, hinted at that. Gus is in, I would say, out of the whole season, maybe 20 minutes of it. Doesn't talk a lot, but he has his moments, and it's nice to see Gus. But like I said, I think the strongest thing about this season is the story of its main character, the stuff with Jimmy and his brother Chuck. And it's something that they've been building up for two seasons that I feel finally actually paid off in season three. There is an episode halfway through season three that's probably my favorite episode of the whole series, and it's a courtroom episode, which is, like, in the Better Call Saul, you would have thought that the whole, like, series would have been kind of like
he's a lawyer.
Yeah, yeah. So they finally did a lawyer, like, straight up lawyer episode, and it's Jimmy going to battle with his brother. And honestly, I thought, like I said, I think it's the best episode of the series so far. And that was halfway through the season. In the finale, I'm not going to, you know, spoil things or anything. You haven't seen any of it. But in the finale, I feel like I liked how the story between Jimmy and his brother ended up. And for me, at least I think it's a pretty definitive conclusion to a story that they've built over three seasons. And I like the way it turned out. I really hope that if there is a season four, I don't know if it's been renewed, but if there is a season four, I really hope that they've put that story to bed with him and his brother. And I kind of hope that if there is a season four, it's going to be the final season and it's going to show the final transition from Jimmy into Saul Goodman.
Right.
And just overall in general, I really love the show for, like, the tiny little things that it does. Like, the show is all about tiny little details. And it's weird because it's like, one, it expects a lot from the audience to understand what's going on, to care about these little details, you know, without them explaining it to you. But, you know, the more you watch it, the more you, like, come to really appreciate that about this show. There's nothing really like it on TV. Like, it's a show that expects you to care about characters even when the stakes aren't super high. Like, you know, it might not be life or death, but it's about a relationship between two brothers or paying the lease on an office that you were renting like this month. And like, how are you going to do it? Like, it's just a show about like things that like real life people go through all the time. Being given this platform of like a spinoff from Breaking Bad, I think it's pretty cool. So
yeah, especially when like so many other shows would kind of push for the like exotic or crazy line of story
or the thrills, you know, like yeah. Here it's just really the thrills are real life. I mean, except, you know, when you get to the Nacho and the Mike storylines, that's a little more heightened, but even that is still so much more subdued than what you get out of Breaking Bad. Yeah, overall, I really liked it a lot. I would give season 3-4 stars. And yeah, I think you'll like it when you see it, Chris.
Cool.
The other show that wrapped up this week was Fargo season 3.
Okay.
Fargo is pretty cool in that, you know, each season is its own story, kind of like American Horror Story. So you get like you can watch it in any order. I'd say that season 3 is the hardest sell. Like, I would never tell someone to check out season 3 first.
Okay.
I would like maybe tell you just because Mary Elizabeth Winstead is a big character in season 3. And an even bigger character as the season goes on. In fact, like, she almost becomes the hero of season 3 in the last like 3 episodes. And okay. You really like, I at least did not expect that. It's weird. Either they completely like changed the direction of her character halfway through the season, or I read her character completely wrong for the first half of the season, because I wrote her off as like this white trash, kind of like gold digger. Like, that's how she comes off.
Okay.
And not very bright. And in the second half of the season, she is super resourceful, super smart, and able to take down a criminal empire. And I'm just like, okay, this is not the character that I remember from episode 1 or 2, but she's badass, so this is awesome. I just feel like season 3, though, like, it took forever to take off. Like, it's so slow for, like, 5-6 episodes. Like, not a whole lot of, like, suspense or tension or violence. Like, you know, the crime thriller stuff is in there, but it's, like, very dry, kind of, like, accounting, like, fraud stuff. Like, it's all about like tax evasion and like shit like that, and not a whole lot of murders. So you're just like, okay, like, and kind of like, I guess much like Better Call Saul, like this war going on between these two brothers, both of which are played by Ewan McGregor.
Okay.
But once season 3 gets going, I dug it, and I would say the second to last episode is an awesome thrill ride. Like the first 30 minutes of episode 9 of season 3 is just pure suspense and tension, and basically these bad guys hunting down the people that you care about through the woods, and with almost no dialogue, but tons of crazy, brutal, gory violence. Like episode 9 was like crazy payoff. It was like an episode 9 from Game of Thrones. To the point where like episode 10 was almost like not as thrilling. Even though in episode and in the finale, like, it does wrap everything up and it almost has like 3 endings. Like, I was like 50 minutes into the episode last night and I'm like, okay, is that the end? And then they came back from commercial, and then there was another ending. And then they came back from commercial, and then there was another ending. And then it ends on this kind of ambiguous note that had people, like, losing their minds. On Twitter, like, what a shitty ending. I'm like, dude, they wrapped up everything and told you where the characters are 5 years from now. But just because it ends on a slightly ambiguous note, people are like, I want to know what happens. Like, dude, they told you what happened to every character
right
5 years down the line, but because it ends on this, I thought, pretty cool note, some people were a little upset. Overall, I still think Fargo was one of the best things on TV. I'd say this is probably my least favorite season, but that still puts it above a lot of stuff. I would actually watch, like, if you're ever going to watch this show, Chris, like, check it out. I would actually watch it in order. I would say season one is the strongest. Season two is nearly as strong. And season three is just a slight step down. It just requires a little more patience before it gets going. I'll give it 4 stars as well. And sadly, this might be the last we see of Fargo. Because Noah Hawley, the creator, showrunner, has said that he's out of ideas. So he doesn't know what he would do next.
Well, on some level, you would have to respect somebody for being like, I don't know what to do, so maybe we don't do it, instead of just trying to force it.
I guess, but I have a feeling he might have felt that way after season two, because the show took a whole entire year off. Maybe he just got a writer's block, and you know, maybe he'll think of an idea in the next year or so, and
yeah, maybe he just needs some time.
I would imagine that FX would be happy to have the show back. It's the only show I watch on FX anymore, so I know it's probably not a huge ratings hit, but I actually don't have the numbers at all, but I mean, I don't know, it's a really fun, good show. I would definitely, how are you, Chris? I would at least check out season one, but if you're more interested in Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I can't say you'd go wrong with season three. It's just, expect it to take like 5 or 6 episodes before it really starts to get going.
Got it.
But you get some great payoff in the last 2 episodes. I was generally satisfied with both. I'm trying to think of like, I got every show that I love kind of back this year. House of Cards, Better Call Saul, Fargo, Master of None. The best out of all of them has been Master of None, just for the simple fact that show had some really, really standout episodes that I will remember for years. But generally, overall, I've been happy with all of them. I think I gave them all at least 4 stars, so I'm a happy TV viewer this year, and it's only going to get better with Game of Thrones. I don't know if you saw the new trailer for that, but
trying to like skip anything video that's coming out of there. I just want to like catch it when it comes out.
Oh, so you have not seen that trailer?
Oh no, I haven't seen it.
I'm not gonna. I mean, I couldn't spoil anything, anyways, because it's all just kind of nonsensical,
right?
I mean, I know people are like on Reddit, like picking it apart.
Oh yeah, there's people that are just like every trailer for everything. They're picking apart and like coming up with theories. And
I mean, I'll just say 2 cool things I liked about the trailer. One is it uses the music from the finale of last season. I don't know if you remember that really cool song that plays as she's blowing up the Capitol.
Right.
So it uses that song, which I love. And also there's a shot of a guy lighting a sword on fire and like the lifting the sword up, like a flaming sword. I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
That's going to be good. And then we get Stranger Things in October. Like,
Yeah. But man, does Game of Thrones look fantastic. I can't wait. It sucks because I'm going to be on vacation when it starts up.
Oh, really?
And I'm sure I could find a way to watch it on vacation, but I might just wait till we get back and then watch 2 episodes in a row.
Yeah, that'll be fun. You don't have to worry about it. Then I'm actually looking forward to Glow, which comes out on Netflix. We're recording this on Thursday, so it comes out tomorrow.
Oh, it's not out yet.
Yeah, and it comes out the 23rd. So I'm actually really looking forward to that. I may sit down and watch some of those episodes.
I saw it on there, but I guess it was just a trailer.
Yeah.
I did not look at it. Like, what is it? Why are you excited?
GLOW stands for Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Okay.
And this was I was a kid, and like it would air. Like, GLOW is like an actual wrestling promotion that happened in the late 80s. And it was something like I grew up on, like Sunday mornings, like watching like WWF. and then GLOW was on after that, and then like WCW, like, and this was all women's wrestling at a time where like women's wrestling was nothing in like WWF, or, and it was fucking bonkers, like it was like nutso, and this is like a comedic retelling of that time frame, and I guess they have like some fictional characters or whatever, but it's getting good reviews. I think it's like holding like a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. So
dang,
yeah, it's having like grown up watching it. Like I'm interested to see what they do in like a half hour comedy sitcom format. So
all right,
on Netflix. I'm hoping, like, I mean, the reviews are great, so I'm hoping it's really good.
All right, so moving along to movie front.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot. Like, not a lot of noteworthy stuff this week. People kind of watched some... Well, I guess you watched a movie that's new. I just don't know if it's noteworthy. I'm guessing it's not.
Nope, not noteworthy. Yeah, I did watch two horror films this week. One that just hit Redbox, The Amityville Exorcism. This is like the 47th Amityville movie.
Like, literally.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, to give you a reference of where, what this film is on IMDb, it holds a 1.5 out of 10.
Holy shit.
Like, that's brutal. Like,
yeah.
This is, I don't know how it got any sort of, actual release. Like, I don't know how it ended up in a red box. Like, this is barely a fan film. It is terrible. It is, there's some, like, the acting is bad. The cinematography is terrible. This guy, Mark Polonia, who has directed it, he evidently, like, he directs basically, like, schlock. He has 39 film credits dating back to, like, 86, but a lot of them come in like the 2000s. And here, I'll give you a quick rundown of some of the films that these are some excellent, these are some excellent names.
Tell me some of the 80s movies, because there's a chance I might have watched them.
The 80s movies are Hallucinations and Splatter Farm, which is I've never heard of either one of them. They were direct to video things. He makes like these horror films. It's a bad thing, but he has like filmed something called Empire of the Apes, Camp Blood, First Slaughter, Jurassic Prey, which sounds
thinly veiled ripoffs.
Yeah, Sharkenstein, like, and then he's done this Amityville film, and it ended up in a red box. Wow. They don't show the Amityville house, which is the second Amityville movie I've watched this year that does not show the house. It's really weird because, like, it's a real house.
Isn't that kind of what the thing is? Yeah.
Right. Like, it's normally, like, these are the last two Amityville movies I've watched have nothing to do with the house. They just, like...
It's like... a Jason movie without Jason, or
right? It's like Friday the 13th, Jason part attacks five. Again, right? But like no Jason, like
man.
There's nobody of note that is in this film. There is so it centers around these father and a daughter that live in a house where the contractor they hired to do some work on the house took wood from the Amityville house and put it in their house. So there's haunted wood. That's the premise of this. And the daughter, I looked her up. She's like 35 years old. They have her playing somebody who's like a teenager, but she doesn't look like a teen. Like there are some like 35 year olds, you put some makeup on them, you could pass them off as like, go back to 90210, like what's his name, like, I mean, he never really looked like a teenager, but like you bought him with the rest of the cast. like that he was maybe just out of high school or whatever. Luke Perry, was that his name?
Oh, yeah. Was his name. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it wasn't really viable that he was a teenager.
Was he 35?
Yeah, he was like 30-something when they filmed that.
Jesus Christ.
And there are early 20-somethings, maybe mid-20-somethings, they sometimes get to play, like, late teenage years.
Yeah, all the time.
Right.
20-somethings. Yeah. Not, I'm 35. There's no way I'm playing a kid from high school anymore. I mean.
Right. neither was this girl, Marie DiLorenzo. She looks like a 35-year-old mother, like that she's had a couple kids maybe, which she has. Because I looked her up on Facebook, because she doesn't really have a background in film. She's done some other films, but she doesn't look like a teenager. Her dad in the movie doesn't really look like he could be her dad. He looks like maybe he's 40 something. And like their relationship is really weird. He's supposed to be abusive, but everything he delivers is flat. And the priest in it has no emotion. They get this guy to be her, boyfriend, I guess. And except he looks like he's like 20, so it just looks creepy. Like the whole thing, it's just a fucking train wreck. I'm glad I didn't pay to see it. Like, I had a free movie night from Redbox. They paid for this garbage. And I am super happy about that. And, wow, the Amityville series, which has never been great, like, even going back to the original movies, this is a fucking train wreck. It's a nightmare.
I think I kind of liked the Ryan Reynolds one.
That one wasn't bad. The remake of the original, yeah.
I think that might be the only one I've seen, though.
That's probably the only one you need to see. I mean, if you want to have any sort of Amityville filling your horror history, which, I mean, it's a pretty big.
Like you said, there's like 47 of them.
Yeah, like it's, but no, don't like stay away from like the newer ones. These things are garbage, and like I don't know if you can just put anything on Amityville. Like, I don't know if it's like you have to license the name or anything, but. It's like ridiculous. Like they're tangentially related to the horror at best, which is funny because maybe the best Amityville horror movies are the Conjuring, which are only tangentially related to there. Like,
yeah, it's just the Warrens or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, at least there's those. Those movies are pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, they're decent.
I'm not like in love with them as some people, but those, I can't take away the fact that they're pretty solid.
Yeah, they're well made horror movies. They're not great, but
I mean, some people would argue that they're amazing, but I think they're pretty good. They're probably better than all the other Amityville shit.
Yes, anything else Amityville related that is probably better than.
I don't think we got your rating for this new one.
It's a one. It's my first one of the year. I don't give a lot of ones. Like, this one deserves it.
Yeah. And you got that from Redbox too. Well, you didn't, at least you didn't pay for it.
Yeah, I had a free rental, so.
You would have figured that would have been like straight to like Amazon Prime or some shit. Like,
yeah.
Well, I've been watching a ton of schlock too, but I guess I'll tell you one of them real quick. I'll tell you about two movies real quick. Speaking of schlock, I've been watching a lot of 80s stuff, and I'll just bring up one of the 80s movies that I watched recently because it's fucking bonkers. It's called Brain Damage. Have you ever heard of or seen this, Chris?
I don't think so.
I can't think of the director's name offhand right now, but he did Basket Case. Did a couple other movies too. A lot of people like regard Brain Damage as his best, which is like, okay. Holy shit. it's kind of like a, you have to see it to believe it, but basically this like teenager, who looks, you know, 35, he comes across like this alien slug like creature, which I'm finding out was a very popular thing in the 80s. some alien slug creature that like takes over bodies or whatever. And kind of the same thing here. It like attaches itself to the back of his neck and it injects this main character with like this blue drug that makes him trip out like really hard. And the drug is like addictive as well. So like, you know, it kind of takes over this guy's life and he needs the drug, you know, like, or he gets like physically sick. It's a super obvious like metaphor for like drugs, like actual drugs.
Okay.
And all that this creature demands of him is to allow like, to like go out at night and find people for this creature to eat their brains, which is awesome and hilarious. But I don't understand why, you know, they call it a symbiotic relationship. Like if you read the synopsis, that's what it says. And I'm like, why does the slug thing need him at all? Like, why can't he just slither around the night and find people and eat their brains? Like it's never explained why, like what the creature is getting out of like hanging on this dude's back and feeding him like blue drugs. you know what I mean? Like it doesn't make sense, but like, it's also kind of thinking too hard about it because this is just like super dumb and ridiculous, an excuse for like really fucked up scenes. There's a fellatio scene. Like he like picks up this girl at a club and goes in an alley and she's going to blow him and the slug comes out of his pants and you can only imagine, but it's so like graphic and gross and it looks like she's blowing like this
big the slug thing.
Gross. Yeah. Like it looks like to the point where like it was cut out of the film until like the DVD release that I watched. You know, it was like, you know, it would have got him an X rating or whatever.
Right. Right.
So there's like some interesting scenes like that, I guess, if you want to call them interesting. And by far the main reason to check this movie out is for the slug itself. It's like the Mr. Pooh from fucking South Park. it has like
Mr. Hanky. Tiny, that's awesome.
Yeah, or yeah, like it has like, you know, tiny little eyes and a mouth, and it talks, and it's got like its voice is like, "Oh, hello." Like he's got like this super proper voice. Like instead of like you figure he'd sound monstrous or something, but no. And he talks in like reasons with the guy, and talks him in like he's like, "Oh, you know, maybe tonight would be a really good night to go out and I bet you we could find some hookers out there and kill them." Like, he just talks like that, like, just matter of fact.
Wow.
It's, you know, it's a cult film, and it's not good in any way, but it's, you know, a curiosity. I'd give it 3 stars just because it's, you have to just see it to believe it. Like, it's not super good at all.
That sounds kind of like something that you want to see, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a horror fan, it's worth seeking out. Like, I wouldn't spend a lot of money trying to see it.
Right, right.
There's ways. I mean, get it through Netflix. I guess I'll talk about one other movie here, though, and that is I watched 2015's Tomorrowland, a Disney film.
Okay. Yes, we talked a little bit about it last week.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like asking about it. And you're like, I don't know. Like, it's my God, that movie's a fucking mess, dude. Like, what did I watch? Like, it's a kids' film with like kind of big sci-fi ideas in it, but it's kind of all over the place. Like, trying to explain the plot to somebody, trying even to track it yourself as you're watching it is pretty hard. It's like this girl finds a pin. That when she touches the pin, it allows her to see this other like dimension where all these like scientists and super smart people went. And they're like building this utopian society where everything is great and like technology, everyone loves technology and science, and it's like this positive vision of the future. And the reason that the scientists went it was people from our world that went over to this other dimension that they like created or whatever the fuck, because they couldn't get the stuff that they wanted to done here with all the bureaucracy and red tape and stuff. And Like, if that isn't enough to try to swallow, like, there's robots that are chasing her down. I don't know why, to like try to kill her. And she like runs into this older dude played by George Clooney, who also knows about the pins, because he originally discovered this place back in the 1964 World Fair. And then you find out that the scientists in the other world are being led by this guy played by Hugh Laurie, who like is he's like transmitting a single like a signal to Earth that is a self-fulfilling doom prophecy.
Yes.
Like, do you remember any of this shit, Chris? Like,
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of spoiling the movie, but like, oh my God, it's fucking bonkers, dude. Like,
No, it's kind of crazy. It's all over the place.
it's a mess.
Yeah.
It's written by David Lindelof, who wrote Lost and The Leftovers and Prometheus, and like, I like that guy's writing, but this is like,
It's directed
oof.
by Brad Bird.
Who's great, yeah, and but like it's this thing, it's both doesn't seem to really know what it is. Like, it wants to be about this positive vision of like the future, kind of, but it's also all these, it's trying, it, one, doesn't feel like it knows what it is, and then two, is trying to accomplish way too much in a fucking kids movie. Like, I was just like, when I found out that they were sending like a signal that it was a self-fulfilling doom prophecy, I'm just like, what in the fuck am I watching? Like, this is ridiculous. It's absurd.
Don't they drop something on Hugh Laurie? Isn't that how he dies, or they get rid of
I
him
don't even
that?
remember. I don't even remember.
It's like almost like cartoonish the way they like dispatch him.
It is. Well, a lot of the movie's cartoonish, but then it
Yeah.
also has like these big ideas like that, and it's just, it's so disjointed. Like, it just, I did not like it. And the main reason I checked it out is I like the idea of like a positive sci-fi movie, and
Yeah.
also, it has some connection to Disney World. Tomorrowland is a place in Disney World, and I'm going to Disney soon, so I was like, I'm like hyped up for the trip. I'm checking stuff out. Like, I'm probably gonna watch Frozen for the first time before we go. I might watch Avatar for the first time since it came out.
Okay.
So this was like, this just fell randomly into that slot, and I was very intrigued to check it out, but like, I did not like it. Like, I was just.
And speaking of older actresses playing like teenagers, the girl in Britt Robertson, who plays George Clooney's like teenage partner here
Yeah.
in it, she's 27 years old.
See, I thought
She's at least viable though.
I bought her, yeah. I mean, I thought maybe 20 or whatever, but I was like, I bought her.
Yeah,
That's the least of the problems with
no, certainly
Tomorrowland.
not. And no, I bought, like, at the time I bought her, I know people were like, at when it came out, I remember people making comments about her age.
Yeah.
But she looks young. Like, she was also in some other movie recently called Venus, which I haven't seen, but she plays like another teenager in that.
Yeah.
Aside, like a kid who is 7 years younger than her, like
Yeah.
she just looks like naturally young.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, again, that wasn't the problem with it whatsoever for me. It was just a mess and ambitious in some ways, but also felt like it didn't really know what it wanted to do in other ways. And we go two on it, and I would say it's generally a skip, though. Like,
Okay.
there's nothing in there that's like super cool or anything. Like, there's like a couple parts where like the robots are going like super evil crazy that I thought were kind of neat, but like not worth sitting through a 2 hour plus movie. So that's it for this week for me, and for you as well. Yes, we didn't see too many things, right? So.
No. Well, some stuff next week, I think.
Yeah, I will have the Lego Batman movie. I have that sitting here to watch.
Okay. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about that.
You watched it, right, already?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. And there is a somewhat good possibility that I will have seen Baby Driver by next week because it comes out on Wednesday. So,
Oh, does it?
and I'm going to see that sometime opening weekend for sure, whether it's before or after we record next week's episode, we'll
Right. Yeah,
see.
I will see it as well. I don't know if I will see it before we record, though.
And honestly, even if I do see it and you have not, like, if you're going to see it as well, we'll hold our full reviews until we've both seen it. I think it's more fun to talk about movie when we've both seen it. Yeah, but I'm excited for that.
Yeah, there's a chance I may be able to see it that Wednesday. It just depends on some personal stuff here, so.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I'd like to get my girlfriend to go, too, instead of going by myself. But, like, her work hours are pretty random sometimes, so. We shall see.
All right.
And we'll have stuff for you.
Yeah, I'll definitely have, like, at least the beginning of Glow, so.
Okay.
Be able to talk about some ladies wrestling.
See if you could sell me on that.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back with something.
Yeah, something.
Movie dudes. Do-do-do-do.